Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just stay on your feet for a moment. God actually has asked me to do something I've never, ever done before, in that he's asked me to share something, a version of which I shared just 1 week ago, and some of those who were at the Healed for Life Champions Day will have heard that in the morning. How many Healed for Life champions? Wave at me. Praise God. And so it's a version of something I shared before, but God has given it a very different feel. So that was interesting. I was like, God, no. And he said, yes. I went, okay. It's good to say yes first. But stay on your feet, because God, I just want to release a prophetic word that the Lord gave me. Terry and Jennifer Springer, if you could just come to the front. I heard the Lord speak to me about your lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Janita, if I can just have you back. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And I heard the Lord say, my son, my daughter, a new day has dawned. Behold, new things are coming forth from within you. And I heard the Lord say, he said to me, I saw you soon after you were married. And I saw the two of you, and I saw the hopes and the dreams, and I saw you sharing and talking about the things of God together and the things that you had planned and the things you wanted to accomplish. And I saw individual dreams, but I saw shared dreams, many of which got dashed and were thrown away. But I heard the Lord say, my son, my daughter, it's time to dream again. Because the plans and purposes that I have for you individually, but together as a unit, they are good. And they are plans that are not only going to release blessing into your lives, into the lives of those who know you, but they are plans. Please put your arm around your wife, Terry. They are plans that are going to release blessing into the lives of many. And there are things that you've had in your heart to do, and you've said, Father, I want to accomplish this for your glory. I want to do this for you. But in your minds, you've said, but no, not me. But no, it doesn't add up. But no, why would I? But the Lord says to you today, he says to you, Terry, arise. For the fire that I placed in your belly is not only still burning, but that fire is about to burn with a brightness that you've never seen before. And my daughter, the heart that I've given you, for those who are broken, for those who are damaged, the heart that I've given you to release the river of the healing love, I am going to use you to do that, but it's going to flow out of a oneness of ministry. I'm going to use the two of you together. I'm going to use the two of you as a unit, and as a unit you shall go, and as a unit you shall minister, and as a unit I will raise you up, says the Lord. Remember not the former things, for a new day has dawned, and a new thing I do, and you will both see it with your own eyes. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just shut your eyes, put your hand on your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray for your word to go forth today, undefiled by me, a human agent. But Father, that your word would go forth and penetrate every heart in this place. Father, I pray that you would bring revelation, which will bring transformation. Father, I pray that you would do by your Spirit what only you can do. And Lord, every one of us, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, because you alone are able. Oh, thank you so much, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Why don't you take your seats? Hallelujah. Thanks so much, Janita. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes God does work in our hearts in stages. It's like he does something at one level in the depths of our heart. And so we kind of think, job done. Say, job done. And then he comes back and revisits the very same areas of our hearts and lives that we thought the job was done, and he does some more. Amen? And we go, oh, wow, now job done. Say, job done. But God says, no, not yet. Now, I'm amazed at how God does that. You know, I was writing a book in the year 2011, I believe it was. God just divinely inspired me, and books just kept flowing. It was like all I could do was write books, and I was still doing my job and everything else I was supposed to do, but books were just pouring forth. And most of what I wrote during that time, when I came to write my book, 30 Day Detox for Your Soul, 29 out of 30 days, because it's a 30-day detox, 29 out of those 30 days, I wrote from an established work of what God had already done in me. Amen? Like I say, God does things in stages. So stuff he'd already done, I'm sure he's gone back to and done more. Say, I am work in progress. Hallelujah. And so 29 out of 30 of those days, I wrote out of a level of God having already finished what he started. But there was one day that was just a bit different. And what happened? There was one day I was driving home from church. And normally when I go home from church, I have a car full of people and, you know, we chat and all the rest of it. This particular day was different because I was alone. I have no clue why. I can't remember. It was obviously divine orchestration that I was alone. And just God started to stir something on the inside of me. And obviously something must have happened. Do you know some of the stuff we go through God allows because he wants to show us something? Sometimes we go through stuff and it hurts us. And we're thinking, why did that just happen? But what God does, if we will allow him, is if we'll look at how we reacted to what just happened, then we can discover more about what we still need God to do on the inside of us. Listen, if stuff hurts you, if someone doesn't remember your name and it hurts you, if somebody walks past and forgets to give you a hug and it hurts you, if someone doesn't acknowledge your accomplishment or thank you for what you've done and it hurts or wounds in some way, I encourage you to go to the Lord and say, if all is well, then why did I just react like that? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I was driving home from church, don't remember what had just happened, but suddenly I sat there and became completely aware. You know, I don't really like myself. And I was driving home and I realized, you know what? I love myself. You know, I know God loves me. But I realized, oh my goodness, you know, I just don't really like me. And I just started to cry on the way home. Now, what you've got to remember is that when I was this point in my life, about 4 or 5 years ago, I'd already been through just the most deep level of healing. God had healed me of issues in my childhood. He'd healed me in so many different ways, and he'd already released me into a healing ministry. Are you with me? Say again, I am work in progress. But I sat as I drove home and cried. And the way it came out of my heart was, you know, if I were to ask myself, does my husband and does my best friend like me? I would have said, absolutely, I know they like me without a shadow of doubt. But then the next question was, do I believe they're right to like me? And I would have really struggled with that because I just didn't like myself. And what the Lord did was he took me back to a time in my life, because I've learned that when I realize something like that, like I don't really like me, I've learned to say, well, God, why? If you've done all this work of healing in me, why do I still not like myself? And God showed me the root of that lack of, you know, lack of a good self-image. And he took me back to my childhood, to a time when I was not very popular. You know, I had friends, but I always felt that they basically put up with me. You know, they didn't celebrate me, that's for sure. They used to take the mick out of me a lot. Anyone else go through that? I mean, I was the butt of a lot of jokes. You know, but really, I was not the one that they wanted to be with. I was the one that kind of, I was a bit of a Klingon. Anyone, you know, I was a Klingon. So I just made sure, I mean, I was out a lot and with people because I knew how to cling on. And thank God he put that in me. And I know now how to cling on to the Lord. Hallelujah. But you see, that had never been dealt with in my heart. Just that feeling in me of I'm just not a very nice girl. And so when I still thought about myself, I thought, yeah, you're strong, you're determined, you're a great leader. I believed I was a great leader. I believed I was successful, but I didn't really like myself. You know, the best way of defining self-image is to stop and think for a moment. What do I believe others think about me? Ask yourself that right now. If you were to ask two or three others, four or five people, to just say what they think of you, how to describe you, what three or four words would they come up with? Do you know, I tried this on my husband just a little while ago, just a week or 10 days ago, because I found it really easy to work out what my best friend would have said about me. And I came up with four words, and I said, is that right? And she went, spot on. And I said, I'm not sure I agree with all of them, because one of them was fun. But I knew she'd say that, because maybe it's because she's really seeing it in me and really believing that I'm going to be really fun one day. Anyway, I'm just so serious sometimes. That's why God gave me such relaxed people around me. But I asked my husband and I said, you know, if you were to come up with some words to describe me, what would they be? And he was like, focused, determined, gets the job finished. Choleric. I said, that's not fair. You can't say choleric because that's a personality type. He went, all right. He said, yeah, that's about it. I was like, my love, what about, you know, fun? And he went, nah. Hallelujah. But you see, why does our self-image count? Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is the man. You see, what did I think of myself? I thought I wasn't a really very nice person. So it made me a bit cautious when I went into new places around new people. Because if deep down inside, subconsciously, I'm thinking you're not really very nice, then I'm thinking people, you know, aren't necessarily going to want to meet me. Are you hearing me? You see, in this year of go, we've got to have a right self-image so that we can go and do everything that God's called us to go and do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As a man thinks in his heart, so is the man. And I love what it says in Proverbs 27, verse 19. It says, as in water, face reflects face. So a man's heart reveals the man. Now, what does that say? You see, Proverbs 27, verse 19. You see, what does that really mean? Think about it. You see, not only are we only as good as our hearts, a man's heart reveals the man, but also a man's heart becomes like a projector, revealing the man. What am I saying? You know a film projector, and you know that when they're showing a movie, and in the old-fashioned, we could see it because you'd see the actual streams of light coming across a room onto a white-black background, yes? So you see what's in your heart is being projected everywhere you go. If you think, well, you know what, I'm all right. You know, all right is going to be projected everywhere you go. If you think, like I did, well, I'm not even that nice. You know, then that's going to come out of your spirit, whether you want it to or not. Because a man's heart reveals the man. Wherever you go, you're going to be projecting what's on the inside of you. You know, and the honest truth is, discerning people can see it even from those who are very good at disguising. It really, really, you know, and so what's inside does and will come out. Say, I'm work in progress. Hallelujah. You see, your self-image. You see, if you think of yourself, well, you know, people don't really like, I'm not really that nice, you know, so why would you go and knock on a door to share the gospel? Because if you think you're not very nice, then you're having to overcome so much to try and let people know that Jesus is wonderful. You might say that all you need to know and believe is that God is great. No, because if you don't believe that you're great, which, by the way, you are, because you're made in the image of the greatest. Are you hearing me? You see, if you don't believe good things about yourself, it will stop you from going to places. Do you know something else about people with a really great self-image? They know how to make others, say others, feel completely relaxed and at ease. Do you know one thing about my wonderful husband? He's always had, ever since I've known him, a pretty good self-image. So in other words, what does that mean? He doesn't have to get over himself first before helping you. He doesn't have to get over himself to think about how to make you feel relaxed. How many of you think it's quite relaxing hanging around my husband? Yeah? And he's always been a messer since the day I met him. It's because I'm so serious, you see. God had to give me someone just to kind of lighten me up a bit. Come on, Joe, lighten up. Hallelujah. You're allowed to say amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to look briefly. You remember the 12 spies. So you see, these men, think about it for a moment. They had a job. Their job was to go into the promised land, spy it out, do some research, come back with the results, and report back to Moses. They were supposed to be helping Moses form a strategy. And it was God's plan that they went. He was the one who gave Moses the idea to send them. So it was a good plan. Say, good plan. And you see, these men, I want to focus on the 10, not Joshua and Caleb. These 10 men, they were there when the Red Sea parted. Isn't that awesome? They were there. They walked past that wall of water with sharks poking their noses through. Go, ah, ah. And the shark's not able to reach them. Sorry, that's my little addition. It's not in the Bible. They were there in Egypt when literally in Goshen, it was all well. And then you step over outside of Goshen into the next door outside of Goshen, and all these plagues were coming down from heaven. They saw that. Say, wow. Wow. In the desert, when they were hungry and they cried out to God for water, they saw water pour forth from a rock. How many here have seen a rock pour forth water? Maybe one day. They saw that. So these men knew that God was a good God. They knew that God was a miracle-working God. I believe that these men knew that God was able. They believed in God, but they did not believe in themselves. And because they didn't believe in themselves, it cost them and their entire generation their dreams. Listen, my friend. You need to learn to believe the best Love believes the best, the Bible says, but you need to believe the best about yourself in order to be able to fulfill the dream that God has for your life. Put your hands together to Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to look very quickly at two Old Testament characters. Two Old Testament characters, and then we're going to look at another couple after that. But you know the story about Saul, King Saul. He was chosen by whom? Who chose King Saul? Let's say that loudly. Who chose King Saul? God chose King Saul. Because God knew that King Saul was able. God knew that King Saul could have overcome every inhibition he had. God knew that King Saul could make it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God knows you can make it. God knows that the things that you consider to be the reasons why you're holding back, God knows that you are well able to overcome every single one of those obstacles. Say hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 9, verses 1 and 2, please, if we can have up on the screen. 1 Samuel 9, verse 1 says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. We'll drop to the bottom of that verse. A Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Verse 2. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among all the children of Israel. From his shoulders upwards, he was taller than any of the people. You see, this verse alone, verse 2, tells us that Saul, at a natural level, was an amazing guy. There was not a more choice person. Had a choice and handsome son. Choice, in other words, you'd choose him. If you had a massive bunch of people, you'd choose Saul. So there was something about him. He was clearly gifted, talented. He had a lot going for him. Let's go back. Let's jump to verse 21 now. But when Saul got chosen and picked out by God, this was his response. Am I not a Benjamite? Of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family is the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then are you asking me? Why then are you looking to me? What's the point I'm trying to make? Your self-image has nothing to do with the facts. Your self-image has nothing to do with the truth about your talent, about your creativity, about your ability, about all that potential that's packed within you. Your self-image has nothing to do with it. I want to look at one more person here. You remember the story of Gideon. Judges chapter 6 and verse 15. Again, God chose this man, Gideon. God said, we've got a problem here, and I know who the right man for the job is. Listen, that's what the Lord's saying to you right now. There's a problem. There's a problem in the community. There's a problem in your family. There's a problem among a certain group of people. And I know the man to send. I know the woman to send. That's what he's saying over your life right now. But what was Gideon's response? He said, oh, my Lord, how can I do that? How can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest in Manasseh. And I'm the least in my father's house. What does this tell us about self-image? Let me tell you what it tells us. That a lot of the formation of our self-image happens in childhood. Both of them, Saul and Gideon, looked back and said, you don't know where I came from. You don't know what happened in my house. What was it that made Gideon say, I'm the least in my father's house? Was he picked on? Was he put down? Was he constantly seeing his brothers and sisters do better than him? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just not at this level. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Something about childhood has this very powerful effect of painting a picture. Say picture. In our innermost being of who we are. You know, if I could find a photograph one day of myself as a 9-year-old child, and show it to you, you'd see a picture of the self-image that I carried around with me until about 4 years ago. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That girl who wasn't popular, that girl who put herself down a bit, say, I am work in progress. Hallelujah. At childhood. You know, I'm just quickly going to look at the verses as well that show what these 10 men said about themselves who went into Egypt, into the promised land. Just throw up Numbers chapter 13 and verses 32 and 33. Numbers 13 and verses 32 and 33. It says there that these men, it says in verse 33, I'll just go there in fact. It says, there we saw the giants. In other words, you're looking out from where you are at the jobs God has just said that you're going to do. Amen. Whether you go to a job interview and you see all the other candidates line up and you go, oh my goodness. God said you're going to get that job, but you look at the other candidates, you see giants. Are you hearing me? Verse 33, please. You look across. There we saw the giants. And it says, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Grasshoppers. Insignificant little insects. Say insignificant. Do you know, it's only recently that I stopped feeling like a child. I still feel like a child when I'm having fun, you understand? Amen. But for a long time, I just felt like I was a child. In other words, what I mean by that is, I felt like I was inexperienced, that I was too young to be leading, too young to be pastoring, too young to be. Are you hearing me? I just felt like a child, like little. I'd be around others and they'd all be grown-ups and I was little. I was like a grasshopper in my own sight. It made me afraid to be what I was supposed to be. There was a little while ago, my husband heard me on the telephone. And I was on the phone to a pastor. And at the end of the phone call, I hung up and Paolo suddenly said, hallelujah. I know, what's wrong with him? Why is he suddenly in? You know, because I can tell when it's not hallelujah. You know that sort. You know, there's the hallelujah, and then there's the hallelujah. In other words, how long did I have to wait for that breakthrough? I told you, I live with a messer. So I just looked at him and said, what? And he said, at last, you're beginning to sound like the major general that you're supposed to be in God's army. What am I saying? While I thought I was inexperienced and just too young and not good enough, I couldn't even do what God had called me to do. You know, one of the little things God's asked me to do is to coordinate and pull together twice a year women in ministry events. I honestly would have said no to God if he'd asked me any earlier. Why? Because I saw myself like a child. Are you hearing me? Some of you, God says you're a leader and you look at yourself and every person who's a leader in this house, wave at me right now. You're a leader of something, either at work or in church. Wave at me. Hi. Right now, I want you to ask yourself, what kind of leader do you feel you are? Maybe you're a business leader. Do you see yourself as a mighty, successful, profitable business leader, that when people get around you, wow, they're blessed to be with you? Do you see yourself as a powerful leader? Maybe you lead a cell. Maybe you lead the worship team. Maybe you lead an evangelistic team. Maybe you lead a different ministry. Maybe you lead something in the world. What's your estimation of yourself as a leader? Do you know what God wants you to start to realize? that the picture he has of you of a leader is a powerful, effective, a leader who can bring about transformation and change. Listen, he would not have called you to leadership unless he knew that you had the ability packed within you to be not just a good leader, but an awesome, great, powerful leader. And all the powerful leaders in the house said, hallelujah. Listen, if you see yourself as an accidental leader, you'll behave like one and people won't follow you properly. Are you hearing me? When you see yourself as the leader that God has called you, wow, people are going to come running after you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, this whole shaping of our self-image is an extremely important development. It's something that happens, but that if we're not aware of it, we'll carry on through life not realizing that it's all gone a bit horribly wrong. I have a photograph here, and this is what many of you are like. This is a picture of a boy, about age 8, I guess. And you know, you can just imagine looking at this picture and looking at the expression on this boy's face. That, you know, this might have been taken just after he was just shredded to bits verbally by his father. It may have been taken just after the team got chosen at school. I wasn't normally the last. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was at least in the last 3 to be chosen. And you'd just be standing there pretending you don't mind. Isn't it true? And you know, this young boy is living in some of your hearts. A young girl similar is living in some of your hearts. There's been things that have been said by parents, by teachers. I remember when a teacher said over our son's life, you know, he was at school and they were picking parts for a play. And she suddenly just said over my son, oh, well, we won't give you a singing part because you can't sing in tune to save your life. And you know, that day he shut his mouth and he didn't sing for about 9 months and we didn't know why. 9 months later, he just started to sing when he was at home. He was having a bath and he just started to sing. This was when he was about 6. And just at that moment, his godmother, as it happens, was there, and she was standing near the bathroom, and she just walked in and said, Benji, your voice is beautiful. And those words just came with such force, and they broke the power of those other words. And then he shared with us what had been said about him, and we've affirmed him ever since. But you know, there's been prophetic words over his life. He's going to be a worship leader. Amen. Are you hearing me? What are the things that have been said about you? Oh, you're not creative. You see, we're made in the image of the Creator. So there's no one in this place that isn't creative. You just need to start believing it. Amen. Say, I'm creative. I'm creative. Hallelujah. You see, that's what happens. There's a photograph that lives on the inside of who we are, and it affects the way we see ourselves. It affects our view of ourselves. And God is saying today, do you know what it's time to do? It's time to tear that picture up. It's time to say, enough is enough is enough. It's time to say, I'm not going to allow the images projected on me by the enemy in my childhood to last anymore in my heart. Hallelujah. You know, think about Joseph for a moment. He went through 13 years of suffering and pain and hardship. He went through 13 years of being put down. Well, that's what happens if you're a slave. Amen? Any slaves who are constantly being built up, do you know? I mean, slaves are put down. 13 years of being the bottom of the barrel, the scum of the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, and one thing the Lord showed me is I want you to imagine Joseph wearing, you know, that day when he was carried away, captive, that he was probably given new clothes that represented his new role. Isn't that right? And he'll have been wearing those clothes that represented him being a servant, a slave, a nobody. But even those clothes will have been muddied along the way as people put him down, as he tried to do his best and then he was pushed. And as he experienced difficulties, his along the way, he will have found himself constantly being beaten up by life. And I want you to imagine those clothes. I'm sure he got changes, but for the sake of this, I just want you to imagine those same clothes. And I felt the Lord saying that some of you here, and you went through experiences, and those experiences have stained your clothes. So literally, you know, whatever you're wearing, when you look in the mirror, you see your clothes too. Isn't that right? Wave at me. And some of you have been stained by your own sin, by your own disappointments. Others, it's things that have happened around you, and those things have just been like stains splattered over the clothes that you've seen yourself in. And you see, this will have been what it was like for Joseph. But do you remember the day when he got a call and he was told while he was in prison, say prison. He was told the palace is calling you. I want to tell you, palace is calling. The palace is calling you. The palace is calling you. Promotion is coming, my friend. And he got that call saying, the palace is calling you. You're about to be promoted. What did Joseph do? He took the clothes off. He stripped himself, not of what happened those years ago where his tunic of many colors was taken from him, but he took off the clothes that represented that period of suffering. He changed his clothes, the Bible said. He shaved his beard. He cleansed himself. And then up he went, ready to meet with Pharaoh. Will you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For some of you today, there is an inner photograph that the Lord is wanting to eradicate from your heart. When you ask yourself the question, do I like myself? What do I think other people think about me? What are the sorts of answers that come up in your heart? Because the Lord is wanting to eradicate that inner photograph. For some of you, he's wanting to take off, to strip away those clothes that have been stained by events of the past that have affected your entire view of yourself. And he's saying to you today that he is taking away the former, that he may establish the latter. He's taking away what went before so that he can establish you, so that you can believe of yourself what God says of you. And the Lord says of you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord says of you, I have made you in my image, after my kind. If you want to know what kind you are, you're the God kind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands in the presence of God right now. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, I pray right now that every inner image of, I so strongly sense this for some men in this place. There's some men here and you went through a period of just put down and rejection by your father. And that has affected your view of yourself. It has imprinted itself on your self-image. So that when you go somewhere, you almost go hedging your bets, trying to avoid rejection and trying to overcome it in all sorts of different ways. But the Lord is saying, surrender that image right now. Surrender that inner photograph right now. Hallelujah. Maybe there are things that have happened years ago, but it's like you're still wearing the stains and the marks of the effect on your view of yourself. You see, the Lord is saying to you, my son, my daughter, I have called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. So it's time to let go of that cloth that has been stained by those experiences. So right now, maybe you're someone here and your view of yourself as a leader, you see yourself as a second-rate leader, as a weak leader, as an ineffective leader. God is speaking to you today now, and he's saying, I want you to let go of that view of yourself and start to believe what I say about you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord says to you, I have chosen you. You are my special treasure. You are my royal. You are my royal generation. Hallelujah. You're a prince, a princess, one who has been raised in royal heritage. You are creative. You are able. You are competent. You possess every single talent and gift necessary to be an outrageous success. You are not significant. You are not small. You are not insignificant. You are not small. No, you are the one that I have chosen. You are the one that I am speaking over this morning and saying, my mighty man of valor, my mighty woman of valor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your hand on each one of our lives. I thank you, Lord God, that you are imprinting a new image on the inside of us, that you like us. Right now, the Lord is saying to you, not only do I love you with an everlasting love, not only do I love you completely, but I also like you. I chose you before the foundation of the world, which means before God said, let there be light, he'd conceived of you in his heart. He dreamed you up before he created anything else. And he chose you because he knows you and he knows just what you are capable of. Will you put your hands together for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Hallelujah.